The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
Jeremy Beadle.
Terry Wyman.
Birdie Song.
People like Annika Wright.
Jeremy Beadle.
Birmingham.
Beatles about.
Des O'Connor.
Anything that's still alive.
Essex. I want my MTV.
Jeremy Beadle.
Room 101 is Radio 5's repository of tat, housing the worst people, places and pop songs in the world. Notable inhabitants already include Henry Kelly, London and The Power of Love by Jennifer Rush. This week, comedian, playwright and bon viveur Arthur Smith attempts to persuade me, Nick Hancock, to include a few of his own personal suggestions. And we start with this cracking tune.
Once upon a time there was a little white boy, very sad because he was a little white boy. All the black bulls called.
Yes, well, that's obviously his little white boy, since they've said it about four times already. And the reason I picked this is it's a personal peccadillo, word of the day, because I was always confused. I thought it was a little white ball, not a bull. Mm. I imagined as a snooker ball was being tormented in the Toreador, and it confused me and upset me and troubled me. And
so you just thought it was a rather wacky and zany song about a little white ball instead of the moving history, yeah, of a delicate creature who was going to
well,
be
well, I thought
butchered.
It was about snooker initially, yeah, because if you look at the first two lines, once upon a time there was a little white ball, all the black balls called him a coward because he was white.
Yeah.
You see, there's some kind of racist thing here as well. But I imagine some kind of argument between a series of snooker balls.
Yeah.
And as a child, I couldn't get my head around this. And I didn't associate Tommy Steele with surrealism. I associated him with just sort of naff songs.
Yeah, and bad films.
And bad films, yeah. I mean, yeah. Tommy Steele's pretty unpleasant as well, isn't he? Kind of, because he's a Bermondsey boy like myself. And he's so nice and sort of innocuous and those big teeth and, you know, you can't stand him, can you?
Not really. So would you rather he or the song went into room 101, would you say?
Both. Can I go for both?
I suppose you could. I'd be tempted to include the writers of the song as well, who are Michael Pratt, Lionel Bart and Jimmy Bennett.
Blimey, it took three of them to write that.
I know.
It's racist, it's against snooker balls, it's got Tommy Steele, Mike Pratt, Lionel Bart, it's an absolute shambles. Put it in there. I strongly urge you.
Well, I'm not going to let it go in there because I rather liked it. I like the film, and I've got it on video, in fact.
You should be in there as well, then.
Well, I think
it's
I already am.
Life.
That's why I'm allowed to choose, because I am a tragic person.
All right, don't put it in there, then.
Okay, now what have we got next? We've got another piece of music that you've chosen to go in there? Yes, talk us through it.
Yeah, now, you've probably never heard that song.
I've never heard that song, no.
No, well, it's called Kleptomania, Take It Away.
Yeah.
And it was by a band called The Results. And the lead singer of that band was myself.
Mm-hmm.
That is me doing that kind of strangulated American singing.
But were you involved in the creative process other than the actual singing?
I wrote the lyrics and I was responsible for the haircuts.
What was basically the gist of Kleptomania?
Well, actually, though, having said that, listening to it again now, it's brought back a lot of memories of taking drugs in pubs in my youth. It's not actually that bad, because it's about a bloke who's a shoplifter, and she's arrested by the store detective, who is her husband.
So it's about a bloke who's a shoplifter, and she's arrested by the store detective.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of transsexuality in it as well. It's quite a dense piece,
it's
as far as I recall.
It's a very interesting piece.
But tragedy, it is awful, isn't it? And we had 600 of those records we brought out, and 450 of them are still under my bed at home. The other 150 turned into ashtrays when we left them too close to a radiator.
Okay, well, I think, to be fair, and to rid your bed of the burden, I think that your records deserve to go into Room 101, because they are truly horrible. So we'll open the door and see what we can hear in there as we put your records in.
Gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed that they were not here, and hold their manhood's shield while they
a sweep is as lucky can be.
Spot either of those?
Yeah, well, the first was it from Henry the Fourth?
It was from Henry the Fifth.
Henry the Fifth, I mean. And it was, who was doing it, though? Was it Kenneth Branagh?
It was, well done.
He wrote his autobiography at the age of 19 or something,
that's
didn't
right,
he?
Yeah.
How obnoxious. I spotted the other thing as well, which was Chim, that was Dick Van Dyke.
It was indeed.
Doing his famous Cockney accent. Now, you as a Northerner probably don't realise this, but that Cockney accent's not terribly accurate.
You're joking. I always thought Dick Van Dyke was from Bermondsey, like you and Tommy
and Steele. Tommy
Steele,
yeah.
You've smashed a cherished misconception that I've had. Never mind.
Can you cherish a misconception?
I don't think so. I have done. Anyway, I don't know whether you call this music or not, but this is another one of your choices. My
Yeah, well, that was, once again, that was my band.
That was the B-side.
Yeah.
You really had an eclectic style, didn't
yeah,
you?
That's
you didn't
right.
have anything.
No, that was obviously a bit of sort of all-purpose yodeling.
Mm.
And I used to be in a company that did reviews up in Edinburgh, and we always used to put yodeling in every year, and we always used to have to go up and down the streets of Edinburgh with silly wigs on and lederhosen yodeling, hour in, hour out, as a form of publicity. We imagined somehow that us yodeling in silly wigs would induce people to come to the show.
Would you like to give us a little bit of yodeling?
Yeah, I can use that. Lady, oddie, lady, lady, oddie, lady. No, so I can't
that's
really do
that. That's just saying lady, oddie in a high voice. That's not yodeling.
Well, it's supposed to break at some point. It's supposed to, but unfortunately, too many fags and booze have taken my falsetto away from me.
You see. Mind you, that sounded a little bit like sort of the one we were listening to, like the Beverly Sisters do yodeling. It didn't sound like proper yodeling.
The Beverly Sisters never did yodeling.
No, but I mean, if they did a song about, say, a little white bull in Switzerland, they'd put a bit of yodeling.
Yeah, well, of course, there was that famous one. She taught me to yodel.
Was it?
Yes, I remember, by Frank Ifield.
Oh, I don't think it sounded quite like that. But I'm
really well, no, I think you'll find that the older listeners to Room 101...
will, my mum.
Yeah, your mum. I bet you, £10, your mum remembers She Taught Me to Yodel by Frank Ifield.
All right, is it possible to phone up my mum on the air and ask her if she remembers it? No, tragically not, but I believe you. Now, I think we've got some actually bona fide Roger Cook-type tape of a man genuinely yodeling to some cattle.
I don't believe that. I think that was just your producer mucking about in the toilet before the show.
That is the real McCoy.
Who was that then?
I don't know. Farmer Giles of Burn or somebody like that. Yodeling into Room 101? No, I don't think so. I think it's a fine art.
Can you do it?
No. That's why I'm so impressed, I imagine. Okay, so yodeling doesn't go into Room 101, and your next suggestion is...
When I want a plot, I say to my subconscious, I want a plot, and don't give me two, because it's inconvenient, and suddenly a plot appears. Now, if I stop one book on Thursday and start another one on Friday, which I did last week, I've got much time, then I do the research, and I'm used in some of the schools, because my history is so correct, I've got A-levels, and I'm very careful to have every single bit of history completely right.
Yeah, well, as you can tell, that is Jimmy Percy of Sham 69. And I've always... Oh, no. What was it?
It was Babs Cartland, wasn't it?
It was Barbara Cartland, yes. You see, it's difficult for me to say anything about Barbara Cartland that won't get edited. Could have said that, of course. I once tried to get off with Barbara Cartland.
Really? Where was that?
Well, it was in her house. She's got this great big house up in sort of Essex somewhere. She's sort of original Essex girl, I suppose. I tried to get off with her. I was being paid to. It was for some radio program. And surprisingly, I didn't succeed. And actually, I didn't want to succeed after her, because I think she's a bit of a dangerous woman, really, Barbara Cartland.
I think the dangerous thing about Barbara Cartland is the fact that people consider her the great British eccentric. But that's always been something rather dubious to me. I mean, I think if Hitler had been English, he would have been considered a great British eccentric. It's a capsule for... It can be an excuse for anything.
That's right, yes.
And also, 125 men, apparently, have proposed marriage to her. which means there are at least 125 people more eccentric than her.
I think you should put all them in room 101.
Yes. Okay, so let's open the door and put her suitors in.
Yet anyone who's trying to be different from anybody else, because we all bleed the same, you know what I mean, and we all cry the same.
Any ideas?
Well, there seemed to be some sort of madrigal singing going on.
Very good, there was some madrigal singing.
Oh, was the other one? It was some northern fellow, was it?
It was Gazza.
Imagine being in a room with Gazza for all eternity. Mm. God, dear, it would be hard going, wouldn't it?
Mm. Okay, and now another of your contenders for Room 101. What does this music signify? Any ideas?
Well, I'm not sure. I can imagine lots of fey people with clogs, classically.
Clogs, yes. I think you're getting there, actually.
Yes. Holland.
Is that the place you hate?
I don't know. No, I love Holland, actually. You can get lots of things for nothing in Holland.
Like what?
Well, if you know the right people, do you know Bent Tooth Johnny, who lives in Amsterdam? If you know Bent Tooth Johnny, you're laughing. You can get what you like.
Really? Well, there you go. It's informative as well as entertaining.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, that's not the place that you told us you were putting forward as a possible Room 101 contender.
No, what was it then?
It sounded to me like brass band music.
Yeah.
And
where do we get that from?
The North.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I did say the North. Yeah. But no, I didn't mean the Northern Hemisphere in general. I didn't mean North London, although that could go in there too. No, the North of Britain is an awful place. Isn't it? It's like a mud flat in Siberia. It's just sort of full of northerners as well, isn't it? Who are all going on about how the beer's better in the North and they've all... Oh, it's a tragic place, don't you think?
Obviously, I have to take the contrary opinion. But there you go. I always like the way... it was quite good that there was brass band music, because I always like at football when they try and decide where the town that the opposing teams come from, and if they're from the North or if they're in industrial town, all the fans go, no, 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 and do the Hovis music.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're vaguely rural, they all sing, sheep shagger, sheep shagger, sheep shagger, sheep shagger. And then it's brilliant, because some games, they just don't know. Because I've been to games like when you play somebody like Hull, which obviously if you had any brain in your head, you'd know.
Well, that's the North.
Yeah, there's half the crowd going, no, 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 and the other half going, sheep shagger, sheep shagger, sheep shagger. Which is brilliant, you see, and that's why geography isn't taught well enough in this country. Okay, well, I'm not going to let the North go into Room 101 because I'm from near there.
Well, anyway, it's silly, because what size of room could fit the North in there anyway?
Yes, but Room 101 is a concept, not a room, Arthur. You must know that by now.
Well, if it's a concept, why didn't you just call it a concept rather than call it Room 101?
Well, because there might be people from London listening and they wouldn't be able to understand what a concept was.
Mm.
Okay, what's your next suggestion, your next contender?
Yeah, well, I know what this is. I mean, you should keep that running under because it's an endless loop. And what it is, I actually own this. It's the Home Protector Security Cassette. And the idea is that you put it on when you go out, and as you can hear, it endlessly recycles the sound of people hoovering and banging cups and a dog barking. And supposedly, someone arrives at the door wishing to do evil to your property and is put off by this constant hoovering and barking.
Presumably, what they think is, this person must have such a sad life, I'm not going to ruin it even further by hoovering. I'd like to broaden it out a bit, because did you get it from Innovations?
I did.
I thought you might have done. Because I've seen it in Innovations. Innovations, the catalogue that you get with all the Sunday magazines.
Yeah.
I think everything from Innovation should go in Room 101.
Yeah, I agree.
I always look through it and I think there must be something I want, and there never is. They've got like a thousand things in it, and I don't want any.
Well, you see, I did go through a phase where I did have a lot of money, and I did used to amuse myself by buying these. I remember I once bought a snoring pillow. And this pillow was supposed to prevent you from snoring, but in fact, all it did was give me a really stiff neck and make me snore louder, so I was told.
It prevented you from sleeping, that's how it prevented you from snoring.
Yeah,
it had broken glass in it.
Back, yeah.
Okay, well, I think innovations, the people who invented it, the people who work at innovations, all the innovations catalogues, all the people who work at the Sunday papers that put the innovations catalogues in, they should all go in room 101.
Yeah.
Yeah?
To okay. the accompaniment of hoovering and dogs barking.
Yeah.
Sir, well, left this port, the stormy sea to cross. Lave the lead and went ahead on a voyage to Barton Moss.
What was that, I asked myself?
Just a generic, really. It's just some folk singing.
Oh, I see. Just all-purpose folk singing.
All-purpose folk singing. It was, in fact, The Manchester Canal by Harry Boardman, who may or may not be Stan Boardman's father, I think. Stan Boardman, the man who puts paid to the rumour that all Scousers have a natural sense of humour. Thank you.
That and another northerner, I know.
Yeah, but there you go.
Oh, no, I quite like folk singing sometimes.
Yeah?
Do you remember Ewan McColl?
No.
He was rather good, and he was sort of a strong socialist man, and he once did a song about the M1, I remember, that was very moving.
Really? Unlike the M1 today, I thank you. OK, well, next we've got some more music that you've chosen for us.
I'll take you home again, Kathleen, across the ocean wild and wide.
You see, I'll take you home again, Kathy. I love that song, actually, in a way. I'm moved every time I hear it, because I have a tendency, when drunk, to start singing sentimental Irish songs, wherever I am and whoever I'm with. And that one in particular, I often find myself on stage late at night in strange clubs singing that very song. And invariably, it's embarrassing, and people boo and shout. I'm weeping, blubbering at the sentiment.
Have you ever had anybody call Kathleen come up and take you up on it after the show?
Well, no, the point is I'd have to, yeah. Well, you see, if you think about it, the words, though, have always troubled me, because it seems like a beautiful love song to Kathleen, and that was the name of my grandmother, who was Irish. And yet, if you think about it, presumably what's happened is that he once took Kathleen home, right, and then hasn't for a while, and presumably has been taking other people home. Mm. And he's been stuck at the end of the night. There's no one left to take home. He looks around, Kathleen. So he says, I'll take you home again, Kathleen.
Alternatively, he may have gone there with Kathleen. Kathleen's gone a bit out of her face, and he's going to take her home and then return to the party and get off with someone else.
Yeah. I suppose there are a number of interpretations, but it strikes me as clear that he'd rather have taken someone else home.
Yeah.
And it's a pain.
That's the subtext, isn't it?
Yeah.
So all these things are possible.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about a song like I'll Take You Home, Kathleen.
Yeah.
It can mean something personal to every single individual.
Well, to me, it always means I'm drunk and I'm on the stage being booed.
Mm. And I suppose to people who are watching you, it must mean it's the end of the night, we should probably be going now.
That's right.
No more jokes from this man.
It's a bit like the national anthem in that sense.
Okay, well, I think we've done and dusted I'll Take You Home, Kathleen. I think we've discovered that we like it, haven't we?
We do. We love it.
I'll
take you home. I've never known the second line, though. Could I just hear the...
Yeah.
Can we hear it so I can hear what the second line is?
Oh, yeah, can we hear it?
Home again, Kathleen. Across the ocean wild and wide.
Oh dear, well that rather puts me into a lot of our theories.
I've actually got the lyric in front of me, and a lot of our theories are going out the window. Now, that one isn't going in room 101, because I think we did like it, basically.
I'm moved again, I'm trying to cry.
Okay, what have we got next? Another one of your suggestions?
The long jump's still underway, and it really is a staggeringly high standard which these American long jumpers are producing. It was 8.91 meters, remember, that Carl Lewis managed, and it was a staggering performance from Lewis. We now wait to see what Powell did. We think it's something long, and it's a world record! It's the world record! It's not gone to Carl Lewis, it's gone to Mike Powell! A following wind of 0.3 metres per second. It's not gone to Carl Lewis, it's Mike Powell, and that has broken Bob Beamon's world record by 5 centimetres, and the crowd go mad.
Well,
yeah.
Sad moment for you personally.
It's a personal one, this, because, as they said, the world record previously was Bob Beamon, 8 metres, 90, whatever it was. And that, when that was done in 1968, I was 14. It was the start of my... At the time, I was full of excitement and thrusting thoughts about my future. And I felt I would be as young, as long as Bob Beamon's record held. And I felt that, you know, even up till it was broken, when was it, last summer? And I felt that up until then I could still play for the England cricket team. I could still play for the England football team. I still felt I was a youth. I still felt like a gangly, spotty youth with his life ahead of him.
But now,
when that record went, I suddenly realised I was a sad, wrinkled, middle-aged failure.
And did you write to the TCCB and say you wouldn't be available for selection any longer?
Yeah, you see, I feel my youth has been murdered by that athlete who was never a patch on the brilliant Bob Beamon.
Michael Powell. I mean, it's not even an alliterative name.
Yeah, Bob Beamon. And Bob Beamon, it was enormous.
Yeah.
It was an enormous jump.
You, of course, I know.
Yeah.
So forget doing a pathetic link. I know that you know by heart.
I do.
The commentary.
The commentary on it was...
I'd like you to give it to us.
Well, it was the great Ron Pickering did it. In fact, we ought to probably try and get that, but he went, and on the runway now, the man they all fear, erratic but incredibly talented. And it is an enormous one. My goodness me, it's an enormous one. He was up in the air for an age. He jumped right out of the pit. It's an enormous one. Now, that's what I call sports commentary.
Yeah. And, you know, he was right. It was an enormous one.
It was an enormous one. And this one was relatively less enormous.
Yeah.
They don't do long jumping like they used to. And I think you should put that long jump in. You've got room for it, have you?
We've got room for Michael Powell. But he's not going to go in because Michael Powell, although he broke Bob Beamon's record, which was a terrible and somewhat evil thing to do, especially for you personally.
Yeah.
He did prevent Carl Lewis from breaking
yes,
Bob Beamon's record.
That's
and
true.
Carl
that's
Lewis is
worse.
A horrible, horrible little man.
Yeah, well, he's not little, is he?
No, he's a horrible, horrible big man.
Yeah.
I meant little spiritually.
Yeah.
Although not spiritually, obviously, because he was a practicing Christian. So, soulfully.
Yeah.
Although he likes soul music. Oh, forget it. He's a big man, all right?
Yeah.
Forget it. So Michael Powell, he just stays out of Room 101, I think. And we've got some more, another musical choice of yours, I think. Right, you know what it is, obviously.
I do.
And I know what it is, and I think we should sing it.
Yeah, well, maybe you should count me in, because I'll tell you what, I used to listen to band, and I used to have to sing this, and I could never do, because it's quite a long note, the first note. It goes, except in tune. And then the band used to have to count me, because I could never keep it going long enough. They used to go, 1, 2, 3, 4, while I was going, wonder if one day that...
Well, what we'll do is, I think we should play it under and see if you can sing it in time to the correct, the official...
I can't do it without someone going, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, we'll see. We'll try it once with and once without, all right?
Right.
We'll do it without the counting first time. Are we ready to do that? It's a fiasco. But I just like the look on your face as you were waiting.
Well, try it with you counting four.
Okay. When do you start counting?
When the singing starts.
You counted all wrong.
You were counting out a time.
How can you count to four wrong?
Well, you go, 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, we'll try it again.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I wonder if one day... Maybe it was six.
They were right, weren't they? Sandy should have sung it and not you.
See, the other thing that this song has a particular personal misery for me, apart from singing it in the band very badly, was that I used to be a dustman. I used to empty Sandy Shaw's dustbins.
Really? Were there plenty of shoes in there?
Well, that was the joke that all the dustbin men made, and I didn't laugh then, and I don't intend to laugh now. But,
stick by your guns, I
think. But she lived very close to Glenda Jackson. Now, Glenda Jackson, whose bins I also used to empty, was very charming. And she'd give you a beer and chat, and you'd talk about her latest role, and was generally a rather charming woman. Sandy Shaw, down the road, never gave you a Christmas box, was never nice, and treated the dustman very badly.
Like dustman,
as though we were some sort of vermin. And we did have vermin crawling over us a lot, it's true, but... Sandy Shaw, not happy memories of emptying her bins, and not happy memories of her songs.
So, are we saying Sandy or the song itself?
The song, because to be honest, I quite like Monsieur Dupin, and I quite liked We Meet Every Night at 8. Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. That was good. Yeah, I think the song should go into Room 101, really.
Preferably with us trying to sing it.
Yeah. I can't even think. Do you know that one?
Yeah, that's Grandad by Clive Dunn, isn't it?
It may as well be. It's the same people. They did Grandma, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Winifred's School Choir, I think. And also, He's Only a Poor Little Sparrow, which is sung by football fans in different words.
Is it?
He's only a poor little cockney. His face is all battered and torn. He made me feel sick, so I hit him with a brick, and now he don't sing anymore.
Now, who sang that then? Who was the individual?
The Winifred School Choir sang the football version, and that was sung by the West Ham fans.
No, but who was the soloist?
The soloist, I don't know. It may have been Ruth Lawrence. It was certainly some young girl.
No, it was a boy, wasn't it?
No, it was a girl.
It was a little boy. Well, boys have high voices. You never
know. I know
that.
I was one. Thank you. Sorry, I know that. I was one.
I'm sure that was a little boy singing.
No, it was a little girl, definitely. I've been out with her.